Good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Very nice to be with you guys here on this Thursday night. And we're going to be with you all the way till 10 on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. So many things of an inside baseball nature going on, and I am not going to bore you with them other than to say, you know, when things are popping at your workplace, but you really, you know, who are you going to talk to about that other than other people that you work with? Because do people understand what you do for a living? Maybe they do. You know, maybe they do. What I do for a living is actually, it's not a profession being on the air that is shared by that many people. There's a small, although, you know, in the last 15 years, they did their level best. The people that, quote, run the radio business, they did their level best to bring in more amateurs, more people that couldn't find, as my father used to say, couldn't find their ass with both hands, more people who they wouldn't know which end of the microphone to talk into. I mean, in the last 15 to 20 years, the radio business has done its level best to destroy itself. Why? I have no idea. I honest to God, I don't. I was just talking today with some friends of mine, and we were reminiscing about the newspaper business. Don't shake your head, Margaret, okay?
It's just every time you do this,
I don't care about anybody getting upset. What I'm saying now, if there's a suit listening out there, if there's anybody that runs a radio company out there, if there's anybody that runs a broadcast company out there, and they're listening to the show, and they have any brains at all, they'll keep listening to me. If they're stupid, and they want to continue to watch this industry go to hell in a handcart, then go ahead, tune out. You know, I'm going to be at the NAB next week. I'm going to be a real good boy. I'm not going to say a thing. Believe me when I tell you, I don't want to. I'm going to go and do the panel for Valerie Geller and my good friend Turi Ryder. And we're going to be on the panel there talking about how we create, because that's my thing, you know. It's about how do I create a radio show.
How do you create a radio show?
Well, I go, never mind how I create a radio. I'm talking about something else.
You're talking about what? Talking about how to...
I'm just talking about the stuff that goes on behind closed doors, man. You remember that song, Behind Closed Doors?
Yes, it was a song about sex. Good God.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm going to belt somebody, man, within 3 minutes.
Every time you start the show, Mr. Center, you want to belt somebody, you got to start off different, a better attitude.
Yeah, start off with a better attitude.
Oh, get out of here, a better attitude. So in any event, lots has been going on. Lots been going on, lots of changes, lots of, you know, lots of this and lots of that and lots of some of that other stuff, man. It's a very exciting and interesting time. It is a time in the American economy, honest to God, this is a time in the American economy where everybody is in business for themselves, and some are relatively successful, some are not. Some are feeling their way, some are not. Some people are prepared, some are not. Some people are have been at work, you know, kind of tilling the soil for a long time, and some people have just been thrown right into the dirt face first, you know. And that's the interesting thing, and that's actually the fun part about this part of American history. Look, okay, I don't want to get into a big long thing.
Well, you know, Phil, you're always saying you don't want to get into a big thing, but you're going on about. Now, let me just say something here, okay?
Yeah, we got to move on.
Hold on for a minute. I'm talking. First of all, my husband is a self-made man. You know, Frank Gray produced television. He's an entertainment attorney. And when I look at Frank, and you know that I communicate through music, Phil. I was a singer. I sang on Broadway.
Yeah.
Boy, you sure...
What's the matter?
Well, when I say that I sang on Broadway, most people say, oh, really? You go,
Margaret, I mean,
never mind. I sang on Broadway. Just, I'll go past it. I'll pretend like... Let me just close my eyes to it. La, 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 la. All right. I've cleared my mind.
Why do you have your eyes closed?
So I don't have to look at you.
Wow, that's sure is nice of you.
Well, would you listen to me, please? I communicate through music. Come sit by my side. Do-do-do-do-do. The Changes. You know that song? I used to sing that every night in a little nightclub in Chicago. Little nightclub on State Street.
What was the song?
It's called Changes. Every night I sang it. Come sit by my side, blah, 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 blah. The Changes. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, I don't even know what the song is.
What?
What is the song? You sang it every night?
Yes. Don't point at me and yell.
Yeah, but we don't... Miss Gray, I have to tell you at this time, though, your voice just went, yeah.
It did. Your voice cracked.
And why are you pointing that out?
Because you point that stuff out to me. You point it out to me.
You point it out to me? Phil, are you listening to me?
I'm listening to you. You're not listening to me. If you sang that song every night on a nightclub in Chicago on State Street, what are the words?
I don't know, Phil. Do I look like I sing in a night? I probably ought to be singing in a nightclub now. The money that I'd pull out of a jar at the end of the night, and to be perfectly honest with you, don't say it, bud, because I will gouge your face. The money that I would take off a nightstand.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right, wow.
You'd make more money doing that than this gig.
Yes.
Well, what was great with the song?
The song was called Changes. It's a lovely song. Come sit by my side. Watch the time go by. It's about growing old. It goes, come sit by my side. Then we'll both grow old and rot. I don't know. Mummify something. And then changes. And it's so romantic.
Mummify? I mean, what are you? Are you actually trying to sell this song?
Phil, I don't... The aging, it was a beautifully romantic song. People will die, and unless they're found, they mummify. So come sit by my side unless they find us.
Dad, that in song?
No, but that was the intent.
Oh, come on. I mean, I've heard some screwy ideas. I've never in my life, nor am I, you ever going to get me to buy that song was, well, you know, the intent, Phil, was that we'll die as old people and mummify because... There she goes.
No, I'm not. I'm getting a drink of water. I'm not leaving.
Oh.
Look at you.
I mean...
But I let the record show that Phil Henry is laughing at the idea of two elderly people dying and not being found until they look like that... What was the guy we saw, Bud?
Guy in the Alps.
That brown-skinned Alps man, the man that was dead for 3,000 years?
No, I don't think they're going to look like that.
Oh, thank you, Quincy. Thank you.
Yeah, how do you know, Mr. Henry?
Thank you, Quincy.
No, I'm just saying that that body that they found... How did we get into this discussion? The body they found in the Alps was the body of a 3,000-year-old man, but what the hell are we talking about?
You were talking about the radio business, and I'm trying to get you to see reality, and I was singing Changes, and naturally we begin to talk about decomposing flesh.
Yeah.
Well...
Yeah, see what I'm saying? Unless you guys let me take the lead, every night when we start this show, we're going to find ourselves wandering right into a large sand pit.
Oh, well, belch, why don't...
God, Mr. Henry, you're all like, burp, sand pit.
Did you hear me burp, Robert?
No, I did not. But as obvious you were trying to suppress.
Well, suppressing is as bad, because if you're suppressing, it goes like this. Hi, I'm Margaret Gay. Oh, excuse me. And you can hear the gas leaking out of your nose.
Last night, and then I got to take a break because we've wasted 15 minutes.
Don't put your hands into a strangling posture.
I didn't put my hands into a strang... Last night we had Don Berman on the show, and he called me the La Brea Tar Pits. He said that he was a large and rare and exotic animal, and every time he went on my show, he had wandered into the tar pits.
Oh, and you like that, huh?
No, I don't. I didn't know what to make of it until I asked. He says, when I'm on your show, it's like the tar pits. And there I am, looking up with the tar ever encroaching on my face. And I'm mouthing the words, help me.
And you find that funny?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, that does sound kind of bad.
Oh, would you guys are by... Talk about drinking the Kool-Aid.
Are you saying I've got some kind of mind control?
I'm saying you're selling these guys a line of bullcrap about the power of media... And the tar pit and the quicksand and everything else. You have the freedom to get up and walk away from this microphone or that microphone or any microphone you're at anytime you want to. I got a radio show to do. Would you like to stay for it or?
Of course. Don't ask me a question like that. I have a right to my opinion.
All right, fine. But we have a radio show to do tonight, and we're going to get to that radio show. A couple of things. Well, there's a problem on X Factor. Not that that's interesting to me. The only thing that's interesting to me about those shows is that one of the guys that used to produce one of those shows, I think, is still inside in Mexico, having killed his wife. All right.
Yeah.
The six most important things Mark Zuckerberg revealed yesterday. I think that might be of educational to all of us. And a Connecticut slave gets a funeral 215 years after his death. That's kind of a fascinating tale in and of itself. We also want to talk more, as I got into a big, big thing on Facebook today. Man.
Oh, you and Facebook are a parent. Real pain in the ass.
Facebook today was blowing up over the whole, Obama thing. And I don't know what it is about Facebook. Maybe it's just the cats that follow me or something. I think that may be it. But everybody over there is such a bloody conservative. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not complaining about that. But what I am complaining about is the knee-jerk, I hate Obama stuff just starts to get boring after a while. Oh, did Obama say it? Yeah, well, then I hate him. And here's what he's doing wrong. And here's well, why don't you sit and listen? And everybody's take on this thing in the Middle East, dead wrong.
Now, how do you know that whether you're wrong or not?
I tell you right now, my thing, my side makes more freaking sense than the stuff that those guys are saying. All right, we're running late. We got to take a break here. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back and we'll try to kick it around here. Dr. Ron Tarner with some thoughts and feelings on the Syria, Russia, America, Obama, Putin thang. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. Online at philhenryshow.com. Online at facebook.com/. What is it? Phil Henry. And also Phil Henry fans. Woo. Woo! Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Dr. Ron Tarner joining us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado as we discuss, well, the situation vis-a-vis the Middle East. I don't know, you know, when we talk, not the Middle East, but Syria. I'm only doing these Syrian updates because there are people that I really believe, and I think it becomes a very destructive thing, Dr. Tarner. Where is Dr. Tarner?
Get on the line, too.
Okay. I think it's a very destructive thing if you let your ideology begin to dictate how you are going to see things. In other words, you're a scientist. And a scientist doesn't invent the theory first and then go and look for the facts to back that up, right?
That is absolutely right, Phil. You know, what a scientist is supposed to do is he is supposed to find the facts first and then look for whatever theory those facts will bring you. I would be the first one to admit that there are times in politics when that kind of thing happens. I don't think that this is the case here with Barack Obama. I think that President Obama is rushing America into a war.
Now, I'm going to interrupt you.
Oh, man.
I want to interrupt you, okay?
Go ahead.
You're a conservative. And
that does not mean that I revel in war.
No, but I'm telling you right now, it is amazing the 180 that people do. Conservatives who at one time believed that armed intervention in the Middle East was something that was long overdue. There was widespread support for the war in Iraq, widespread support and still is for the military action in Afghanistan. But all of a sudden now everybody is a peacenik over on the Republican side. When did that? I don't understand that.
What do you mean everyone's a peacenik? I saw what President Obama was doing. He went and he talked to a man by the name of Vladimir Putin. Do you know who this man is?
Yeah, he's the head of Russia.
Well, he's the head of he's not running a company. He's the president, duly chosen by the people.
Okay.
What's with the okay?
Well, it sounds to me like you're getting ready to rehabilitate this guy because there wasn't too long ago that Putin was the face of the KGB. Wasn't that what's-his-face said? John McCain?
Well, I don't know John McCain. Who knows what he's talking about for one minute to the next? Putin is a man who runs a country. KGB or not, he's looking for a way out that is a peaceful way that is going to be peaceful, you know. And
yeah, see how you're kind of struggling.
Can I finish, please?
Go ahead, but you're struggling with this whole idea of peace. You know, hi, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, but no, I'm about peace. And Obama's a warmonger. And
well, you know, let me say this, Phil. He's getting slapped around. He's not getting slapped around by Putin.
No, he's not getting slapped around. See, that was the thing. No,
Phil, why don't you let people talk? Is this your little soapbox?
You know, Margaret, I was telling him that. You know, I was telling him that before the show.
All right, is this about me again? Are we going to make this about me again?
Well, I'm saying you got to let people talk, you know.
I guess I'm butting in because I want to keep it going. You know, that's all.
Oh, I see. Because I'm boring?
No, you're not boring.
But?
You're not boring, but I got to keep the thing... What are you saying? You're saying what? Go ahead. I'll let you have the floor. You can...
Well, you know, Phil, you say I can have the floor, but you bring a mop and a bucket out for me. So when you tell people they have the floor, you're also saying, well, by the way, as long as you're there, why don't you clean it up and underneath the baseboard there, yeah, that's it. Get in there good deep, because there's gum and filth. Okay, so...
I had no idea you resented me that much.
I don't resent you. What I resent is you saying you can have the floor, and you've given me a moppet and a buck.
A moppet and a buck?
I mean a bucket and a mop.
He misspoke, Phil.
All right.
God, being so petty about it.
I thought I heard you say a moppet and a buck.
What's that mean? You mean a bucket and a mop?
I misspoke. Don't be so petty about it.
In any event, I'm really trying hard, Phil, not to hate you right now. I'm really trying...
What is everybody's problem tonight? Let's just stop. What is everyone's problem tonight?
I ain't got a problem. Well, I mean, you're not letting people talk, and you got a chip on your shoulder about everything, too.
I agree with Robert. You have a chip on your shoulder. You're ready to see people go... This thing that has happened inside radio, and Ron, do you know what's going on?
Well, I've heard a little bit about it.
Yeah, Phil is loving it. He's like Nero fiddling while the entire thing burns to the ground. I've never seen a man's eyes light up at the prospect of someone being gutted alive on the torturing tables of Torquemada, and yet...
Come on, will you? I'm not doing anything like that.
Well, Phil, the word is that you're really enjoying the misfortunes of certain people.
I'm not enjoying the misfortune of anybody. I've made that very, very clear. I'm not enjoying it at all. There's a company, ladies and gentlemen, in our industry that is burning to the ground as we speak. I say that figuratively, through mismanagement and through gross mismanagement. And yes, that's all true. Do I revel in that? Am I glorying? No, I do not. I feel bad. In fact, I was surprised at how bad I felt.
You see, he's taking the chance to talk about himself anyway.
Yeah, I'm sorry I brought it up, Phil, because I understand it.
Well, you guys did, but you did bring it up.
Yes, but now you're going on about your life.
No, I'm letting the audience know what it is you guys are saying. To say that I'm reveling in it like I'm enjoying somebody on the rack of Torquemada.
I didn't say the rack. And why did you tell people who Torquemada is?
Yeah, nobody knows what it is.
Well, then why did you bring it up? And if you brought it up, why didn't you tell people?
Because you're the host of the show, Phil.
Yeah, you're the host of the show. You ought to know Torquemada is and all that.
What?
Torquemada?
It's not Dodo Mata, it's Torquemada. What a...
Torquemada, folks, so I can get to the point here, was the Catholic prelate, the Catholic priest, if you will, the Catholic Archbishop of Spain or something, who led the Spanish Inquisition. He was the man who assigned people to the torture chambers and the racks and the Iron Maidens of the Spanish Inquisition. Torquemada's name became synonymous with torture, painful death, Inquisition.
And now your resentment over the Catholic Church is coming out. So, Phil, there's a lot. You've got a lot of issues.
No, okay.
Well, I think we ought to lay off of Phil, but I think your point is well made, Phil. If this guy Torque, whatever his name is, Torque, is that it?
Torque? No, it's Torquemada.
Well, I don't. How the hell am I supposed to know?
You know, he is a doctor, Phil.
Torquemada.
Torquemada. What is that, Spanish?
I guess it was Spanish back then.
Yeah, it sure has changed since those days, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Now it's, you know, Buenos Dias and Chile con Carne and all that. Like Torquemada, it sounds almost like it's Latin, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does, Dr. Turner. So what else?
All right, so what I'm saying is that Obama is now pushing the United States toward war. And you're saying that I have no right to say anything about that, because I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative. Well, I happen to like peace.
Yeah, you happen to like peace if the president that's pushing us toward war is a Democrat.
I think that's absolutely wrong, Phil. I don't think that's fair of you at all.
I think it's completely fair. I think it's completely fair. And I'll tell you something else about Obama. He goes back to Moscow, he sits down with Putin, and within a few days, Putin is on a phone to Syria, and he's asking, can you guys give up the chemical weapons? There is no doubt in my mind, and if anybody is really, really wants to exercise their brain just a little bit, this isn't anything that's going to be all that crazy. There isn't a doubt in my mind that Obama's threat of force got Putin on the phone with Syria and got Syria to sit down and start thinking seriously about what the hell it is they're going to do with all of those chemical weapons that they say they don't have. So put that one in your pipe and...
Put that bee in your bonnet and smoke on it.
Yeah, that's right. Put that bee in your bonnet and smoke on it. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445 and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Backstage Pass gets you a live-streaming video of our show, and we show you a video of this hair thing every night. I have Dr. Ron Tarner on the line with us. Dr. Tarner is at Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. Dr. Tarner is an astronomer and is an astronomer of note, but we are talking about politics here tonight because he has been a part of a great many roundtables when it came to how science and politics interact. Particularly, Dr. Tarner, when it comes to the question of global climate change and the fact that, you believe very strongly in it, obviously.
Well, Phil, if I could interrupt you for a minute.
Go ahead.
I'm not even going to discuss global climate change as something that, do you believe in it? I believe in it because, again, as you know, the scientific's overwhelming opinion is that to debate this is to debate whether the Earth, it's not even whether the Earth is round. We're well beyond the Flat Earth Society. It's to debate whether gravity is a physical force or elves and pixies, hold you down.
Well, it's not that bad.
Oh, no, it's every bit as bad. It's every bit as bad.
Now, I want to ask you something, Dr. Tarner.
Yes.
You're telling me that the global climate change debate is so ridiculous that it's the same thing as if I were to say that pixies and elves hold us down so that we don't float away instead of gravity.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. People who do not advocate on behalf of the global climate change, people who think it's a figment of someone's imagination, they believe that a banshee will come when they die and spirit them off to some Irish heaven somewhere, and
all right.
No! I'm going to finish what I'm saying because this has been on my chest for a long time. I want to finish.
Go ahead.
And that swamp gas is actually caused by pixies and elves. Once again,
swamp gas.
Yes, that lights up. So that's really what we're talking about. Now let's talk about this situation here vis-a-vis the Obama and Putin. When I was debating this global climate change in front of the United Nations, I thought I met some real dumbasses. Excuse my language, Phil, but this one beats all. Now, I'm not calling you dumb, but you're saying that Obama... Run that by me again.
I think everyone would benefit, Phil, if you told us what your theory is.
Yeah, run that by me again, Phil. I'll tell you what's wrong with it.
Yeah, okay, so this is the way you guys do things.
What do you mean, you guys?
This is the way you guys do things. Let me hear your argument, and I'll tell you how it's wrong, because I don't really have an argument. My argument is simply this.
I've got an argument.
Oh, here's mine. When Obama went over there, and he sat down with Putin, and he told Putin what he was going to do, and Putin then sounded off to the press about how we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and he hard-assed it, and all of the gullible people here in the United States, i.e. conservatives, believe that, wow, he's really saying some bad stuff, and look at how he's bitch-slapping Obama. Meanwhile, Obama said the following thing. He said to him, we're going to exercise a military option. You want to get on board or not? If you have any influence with these people, I suggest you use it. Now, Kerry was overheard with an open microphone saying the only way they're going to save themselves from an attack is if they turn over all of these weapons. That's exactly the thing that Putin went down and proposed to the Syrians. There's not one thing that has happened in this process that says anybody got bitch-slapped other than Putin. Now, he has a big, fat mouth, and he talks about how he sent a destroyer and a frigate, and I think one other ship there to the Eastern Mediterranean. And, man, the Russians are going to really kick some ass down there with those ships. We got a nuclear submarine arsenal that could blow the entire Middle East off the map if we ever really just got so sick and tired of the whole situation and decided to turn all of that into a glass factory. We could do that.
Well, isn't that a pleasant thought?
I'm just saying. You know, all these people that are impressed with Putin, impressed with what? Because he takes his shirt off when he goes fly fishing? I don't get it.
Well, okay, so what are you saying?
What am I saying? What didn't I say that you didn't understand?
You're saying that when Obama went over there, Putin pretty much ran him around.
No, he didn't. How do you figure Putin ran him around? What did Putin say to Obama that got Obama doing anything other than what Obama wanted to do? Obama made a statement that is absolutely, it's diplomacy 101. It was beautiful. He came back and he said, well, you know what? We'll give diplomacy a chance. We'll give peace. That's the thing you say, man, when you've got all of the cards. When you got all of the cards, you got the United States of America's military might backing you up, and Putin has got a military that is still recovering from the savaging that it took during the final years of the Cold War. And Obama says, you know what? We'll give it a chance. We'll give diplomacy a chance, sure. Why wouldn't he say that? Why wouldn't he say that? He's got everything to lose. If he goes in and he starts hitting Syria now without taking the diplomatic approach that everybody wants him to take, including all of these peace-loving conservatives all of a sudden, that really cracks me up. Man, I'm telling you, I got to laugh when I hear that. He's got nothing to lose there. Because now what are the conservatives going to say? He's not being tough enough?
Wait a minute. I'm a conservative, and I don't like what you're saying there. You're saying to me that I don't believe in peace, but you're also saying I don't believe... I do believe in war.
Okay, then you would support Obama?
I don't support Obama, and here's why. He has been... And Margaret, feel free to jump in, or Bud. He has been...
Well, he has been making noises like he believes in peace. Now you're saying he's doing what? He's threatening Vladimir Putin with... What, extinction? Oh, yeah, sure.
No, he's not threatening with extinction. He's saying, this is what we're going to do. This is what we said we're going to do. We have every right to do it. He's in violation of international norms and international accords. Give me a break. I'm going to go before the United States Congress, and I'm going to ask for a vote on this. Now, maybe he hasn't met the president. The president's got bigger things to worry about with the Congress, not Putin. The Congress has got to back him up. He gets a vote of confidence from the Congress. I'm going to tell you right now, man, we will attack. It doesn't matter what Vladimir Putin says. And for people to start buying into this, I hate to say it, but the more I live in this country during the presidency of Barack Obama, the more I believe it's about the color of his skin.
Oh, my God.
Phil, that is wrong.
Oh, my God. Did you hear what... So you're saying that I'm a racist?
No, I'm not saying you're a racist. I'm saying all of this stuff gets bubbling up about Obama because, well, he's just kind of weird, man. He's black, and he's weird, and he's liberal, and he's not. And, gee, we're just not comfortable with this guy, with the whole Kenyan thing and his mom. And, you know, the cat has just been really weird for people. And everything he does, they suspect. And every movie makes, they suspect. And they don't like what he does here. And they don't like what he does there. And even if he does something that's really patriotic and really cool, they're finding fault with that. They call him a phony. I've never seen my country react so ridiculously to a president before.
Well, you're calling me a racist. I would tell you something.
I'm not calling you a racist. I'm saying, you guys with this flip-flopping on this thing. You know, you're a conservative. Margaret, you're a liberal. You guys are on the same side here.
I'll never be on the same side with Ron Turner. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. Ron knows that. I respect Ron, and I love him. But I hate his living guts when it comes to his politics.
Well, Margaret, I have a hard time believing you like me.
That was pretty strong.
No, Ron, I respect you, and I absolutely do like you, but I hate your living guts, and I hope you die with blood in your mouth because of your politics.
Will you say specifically by politics?
Yes.
You hope he dies with...
Well, don't... You know what she means.
No, I don't know what she means.
I have nothing but the greatest of respect for Ron Turner, but I believe that President Obama is overstepping... I believe that he is threatening war. I think, you know, Phil, you're going to laugh, and I know all of the people will laugh, but I remember a man by the name of John Lennon. So if you didn't like the song, Come Live By My Side, do-do-do-do-do, The Changes.
Do you think you're going to come up with some lyrics for that anytime soon?
I beg your pardon?
Do you think you're going to come up with some lyrics for that anytime soon?
Here's what I'm going to come up with. Stick it up your...
Okay, watch it, all right?
Yeah, there you go. What a lady, huh? What a lady.
You know, I thank God that I was born a liberal.
Well, you know, I think you were born a liberal, Margaret. The way some people are born gay. I think it is an orientation.
Well, your orientation, I think, is conservative.
And gay? She was about to... All right, Phil, you know...
No, she wasn't about to say anything.
I want to say this. Obama is scary, you're right, but it's not because he's black. It's because...
Yeah?
No, I want to... Here, this is the song, all right?
Yeah, go ahead and sing the song.
Oh, yeah, let's have Margaret interrupt this conversation with her song. Go ahead.
Oh, so you're saying I don't have the guts to say what I want to say?
I don't think you know what you want to say. I just made perfect sense to you. I just laid out the case that the United States holds all the cards, is pushing all the power buttons, is making a Putin dance to the tune. Putin can put all the press releases out there he wants. He just gave a big long interview. He took out an editorial opinion in the New York Times, man. Why do you think a guy does something like that? Because he doesn't care what people think? Because he's got all the power? Because he's jumping, he's got Obama jumping through hoops? Putin's out there trying to make his case because he's got nothing else. He's got to get world opinion behind him. He's got to try and rally American opinion. And he's doing a damn good job. Nice going, Mr. Conservative.
Wait a minute. You're saying the conservatives are buying into Putin.
That's right. Those are the guys that are really buying into this guy. Because they'll do anything. You guys will do anything to hate Obama.
Excuse me. I want to say this. All we are saying, come on, Robert.
Yeah.
Give peace a chance. All we are, and you remember that song, Ron? You know that.
Yes, I know it.
All right. All we are saying is, and then they went up. Give peace a chance. That was John Lennon's message. What have we done? We've taken it, and we have used it as a freshen napkin. Now, do you know what a freshen napkin is? Does anyone know what that is?
Look, Margaret...
No. Just that... I know you have to break.
I don't.
It was a product that was released some years ago as a way of wiping after you've wiped to freshen up. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? And that's what we've done with that song.
Like it's a second... By the round two of toilet paper?
Yes, like it's round two of toilet paper.
Does it have some kind of chemical?
Yes, it's like a baby wipe. Oh, don't start giving the look, Phil.
All right, I won't give the look. We're going to take a break. World-famous Phil Henry Show. 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. It's a baby wipe that is a...
Don't play it back to me.
We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as Margaret will be singing. I think that's your debate style. Let's just break into song. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the, excuse me, every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we have moved up 3 hours. Dr. Ron Tarner is with us. We are talking, well, I thought we were talking about Syria and Putin and, you know, and I to be honest with you, it's only tangentially interesting to me because I can see this thing playing out. Man, I see it playing out very, very clearly.
Well, you know, Phil, some of us do not have your vision. You know.
Well, I'm not saying I'm a genius, but.
But you just see this more clearly than the rest of us.
You haven't said anything here, man, that makes any sense. All you're doing is exactly what I predicted you would do. You're going back and forth. You're saying, well, I don't like Obama, but I don't like the Russians. You're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place.
Phil, I want to say something right now. And is that David?
Yeah, I got David on the phone now.
What does he want?
No, I wanted to talk to him. You're making a strategic error, Phil. You're making a strategic. All right?
Uh-huh.
Why are you looking at me like that?
What's wrong?
He's giving me the look like I'm a midwife that just strangled his baby.
Oh, please.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at you, Margaret, trying to figure out if you're real or not. You know?
No, I don't know. That's very insulting.
Strategic.
Oh, please. I'm trying to emphasize... Fine.
David's on the phone, huh? Dr. Tarner?
Yeah, Rod Tarner here.
Okay, hold on. David, what's up?
Well, here's what's up. And Margaret was going to tell you. I don't need to tell you that you still have, for the most part, a talk radio community out there that is governed by a conservative political philosophy. By you coming out and touting Obama like you usually do, you stand to lose the favor of a great many of the programming people in talk radio that are conservative. Now then, all right.
Okay, let's just cool it right there, okay?
Well, I'm not done. I've got a lot of things on it. First of all, I am going to be at the NAB next week. I'm going to be breaking bread with a lot of these guys. Now, Ron and Margaret and everybody that's listening, breaking bread is a term that's used in business. I'm sure it's used in the businesses of a lot of your listeners. But it means we're going to sit down and we're going to talk turkey. And that is a term that is used in business to mean we're going to sit down and talk business. So we're not going to break bread and then wrap it around turkey.
Right. Well, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, you want Dr. Turner understands, Phil?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, why?
What are you getting upset about? I think I'm talking to idiots tonight, just like I was talking to idiots last night. I think I don't think anything has improved from one day to the next.
What is idiotic about what I'm saying?
I've heard the term talk turkey and break bread. I know it means you're not going to sit down and wrap bread around. In other words, we're not going to have turkey sandwiches.
Exactly.
I know that.
All right, you know it. Does the whole audience, are you willing to vouch for the whole audience?
Bill, that is a very good point he's making. Perhaps the audience doesn't know.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, I was willing to say on behalf of my audience, I think they know what it means. Nonetheless, continue.
All right, I will. And for those of you out there who know that I'm right and that Phil probably, you didn't know what breaking bread and talking turkey. Now, next week I'm going to be at the NAB. There's going to be a lot of conservative program directors and...
When you say conservative, are you talking about...
Will you let me finish, please?
No, when you say conservative, do you mean politically or do you mean programming philosophy?
I mean of conservative stations.
I do what he meant.
That's great. Go ahead.
And they're going to be saying, what's with Henry and all this Obama talk? They're going to think you went liberal, and I got to have something to say to them. What do I say?
I don't know. You're going to be talking turkey. Why don't you say, let's break some bread and talk some turkey?
That's very funny. You know, what happened to the guy up there that you don't want to mention his name on the air, but everyone knows who you're talking about? I hope the same thing happens to you. First you make millions, and then lose it all. So it'll take about 5 years, but I hope the same thing happens to you.
Guess what? It won't.
Is that right? Why not?
Because I've learned my lesson, man. I've learned my lesson. That will never happen to me. And there's just one way to keep that from happening.
What's that?
I'm not saying.
You don't even know, do you?
I do know, and I'm not saying.
Phil, that's dirty pool.
I don't give a damn if it's dirty pool. I'm not saying.
Well, this is Dr. Tartar. And,
I'm not saying. Thanks a lot, David. See you later. And see you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. David G. Hall, our vice president of syndication on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That always pisses people off. Don't give me the look. I know exactly how not to fall afoul of public sentiment and have what happened to our very dear friend happen to me. I know exactly how. And I will say, I'll say it next hour when we have Bob Green on. All right, so what I just heard David Hall say there is that I'm in big, big trouble if I don't start bashing Obama. You agree?
I think yes. I think that as long as talk radio continues to have this conservative viewpoint, even if Obama delivers a new age to America of learning, enlightenment, and peace, even if every... I'm going to say something really ridiculous, but I really believe this. If Barack Obama came up with a formula that extended, God forgive me, that extended the length of every man's penis by 3 inches, people would still hate him. The conservatives would still hate him.
Oh, for God's sake. Why don't you live in the real world for about 5 seconds, please? You know,
well, I mean, on the stark face of it, do you disagree with that?
On the stark face of what? That Barack Obama is going to come up with a formula that is going to extend the length. Am I allowed to say it?
You're quoting her.
Barack Obama is going to come up with a formula that will make every man's penis 3 inches longer.
Yes, and you'd still hate him.
I would hate him, because I don't hate him, but I would disagree with him. I would disagree with him.
You disagree with him what?
If it didn't. Is he giving the formula to people that only agree with him?
No, he's giving it to all the American people. He's the president. He came up with the formula. He found a way to fund it. He found a way to promote it. He shepherded it through. It's his baby. It's his project. It's his plan. It's his bill. And it made every man's penis 3 inches longer.
And I could still have the formula and still disagree with him.
I guess so.
Well, then, yeah, I would still disagree with him.
Would you find fault with the formula?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's what I think is about Barack Obama. I mean, the guy could come up with a...
Whoa, hold on. You didn't say anything about that.
Well, that's the insanity I'm talking about. He could come up with a formula that would do exactly what I just said, and people would find fault with it because it's Barack Obama.
I agree with that. And I also think that that is not so foolproof because there are men, and I'm not going to say anything because I'm not that kind of a woman, but there are men who don't need that kind of help. And I think you know what I mean.
Oh, she did the whole...
Just did sloppy jaw.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. I think you know what I mean.
Oh, so the men that don't need that help, huh?
That's true.
All right, well, I'll come up with some other magic thing that the president, did. Anyway, thank you very much, Ron Turner. And we're back with Robert Greene next hour to discuss the Facebook, to discuss Mark Zuckerberg and some of the comments that he gave to a reporter that Twitter is about to offer publicly. They have an IPO that's on the just in the offing, if you will. So there's a lot happening in the world of social media, in new tech, high tech, and we'll talk about it next hour. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Next week, I'm at the NAB in Orlando, Florida. We are also going to be appearing live at the LA Podfest October 5th in Los Angeles.